When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's hot outside, but we can keep it real cool. 7 p.m. to midnight. Keith McPherson on The Fan. KM to AM. A five-hour sports talk show with you, the callers, at 888-808-1019. And what a time. A lot of our WFAN hosts are on vacation, and I'm just really glad that I didn't take the vacation that I scheduled. And the trip that I've made the last couple years... You could be anywhere in the world, but you're here with me tonight. Let's get it, man. The All-Star Game is upon us. I'm watching Paul Skeens. I saw Aaron Judge take his batting practice in those terrible uniforms. I hate the All-Star Game logo and uniforms, and I've bought those jerseys in the past and memorabilia from the All-Star Game in the past. And yeah, not this year. Didn't go to Texas. I'm staying far away from Jerry World till Jerry Jones gives it up. But anywho, Pete. If you follow me on Twitter, Instagram, I put out a video. I said the only three-peat you're going to get is the morning, midday, and afternoon talking about Pete Alonso. And I did it last night in real time. I was so surprised. I barely saw Pete Alonso compete in the Derby. He was a non-factor. He was the most bet-on guy. He had the best odds. He's the guy with the most experience. And he flopped. And last night I said, my boy Zeke texted me and said, Alonzo's over the hill. Kind of in a way like, yo, what we're seeing in this home run derby, which I said to you is the best skills competition in sports, not the three-point competition, which now they're doing Sabrina Ionescu versus Steph Curry. You know, hockey does a good skills competition and whatnot. Even the NFL having the quarterbacks throw at the targets, nah. The home run derby, at least it was, used to be this spectacle. Last night was super mid. They completely missed the mark. It was an L for MLB. I mean, starting off with the national anthem. I'm just suspicious of everything I see on the internet now. Last night I said they went viral for this. Somebody had to have known this would happen. No, what we found out today... Ingrid Andres, I had never heard of the chick before. She was drunk singing the national anthem. What did I tell y'all yesterday? I've been to the last three home run derbies. It's a baseball festival. What do you do when you watch baseball? Specifically a baseball competition that's not even nine innings. You booze, win or lose. It's a drinking party all day into the night. And the best parties that go on in each city happen on the eve of the All-Star Game. A lot of people are dipping out of Dallas and not watching the All-Star Game. A lot of people are out tonight and early in the morning, so they're not partying tonight. The party started Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then you had the last one Monday. Here we are Tuesday, it's a wrap, but hey, Shorty didn't even make it to the party. She was wasted by 6 p.m. Central Time. She put out an Instagram story. She said, I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get help that I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to Major League Baseball, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun. XO Ingrid. Whew. Amy Winehouse type beat. I feel like she was peer pressured into drinking before she had to sing the national anthem. You had one job. Watch out. She was peer pressured into drinking. You know, I've been to a few of these, and it made me think of my own experience. Last year before the Derby, the way that I entered T-Mobile Ballpark out there in Seattle, I mean, it's a rare event. This doesn't happen all the time. There's extra security, but people don't know everything. If you have a wristband, which of course she did, she's on-field personnel, there are drinks flowing, there's free food, there's people advertising things, there's other celebrities. I could just imagine her in the Diamond Club or Legends for Yankees fans, Clover Club for Mets fans, whatever it's called out there in Globe Life Park. It's got to be brand new. It's probably really nice. Probably got Nolan Ryan and George W. Bush in there. And they're passing around shots. It's Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas. She probably couldn't turn down the shots, man. She got peer pressured into drinking before performing the national anthem. And then after that went viral, she got peer pressured into going to rehab. She said, I hear it's super fun. Nobody's ever said that. 888-808-1019. I remember last year being in Seattle in their Diamond Club. And I walked right in. You know, just look the part. Act like you've been there until somebody checked me. Hey, sir, what are you doing here? They think I'm a rapper or something. I'm able to just go and walk up, get food, get drinks, see a couple people that recognize me. Yo, what's up, man? I'm sure that she was mingling and rubbing shoulders with people at the Home Run Derby. Just wait. You could have done all that after the 2 minutes of you singing the national anthem. And after she took an L, Pete Alonso took an L, and I had a call last night. I took a call last night, and the caller said, you know, does this impact Pete's free agency? Let's say he goes out there and wins and he does three-peat. Does this impact the number of his contract? I said, no. This is an exhibition. This is a skills competition. It has nothing to do with the game. It's nothing like the game. It's cool for Pete in baseball history. It's cool for Pete because he loves to compete, but he should hang it up. He should retire. That's it, bro. That's it, bro. That was not impressive. You were one home run shy from being the worst competitor in the Home Run Derby. And then the narrative around you forcing your way into the All-Star game so that you could compete in the Home Run Derby, right? That was the caveat. I only want to do it if I can play in the game. There's a narrative that you bumped Lindor or Nimmo from getting their opportunity the first time as a New York Met. 888-808-1019. Whether that's true or false, it's a narrative. It's out there. People believe it. People don't believe the facts are truth, and people don't get the facts are truth. But people believe that you were being selfish by putting that proposition out there. And of course, Rob Manfred took it on. As I see them selling these ugly jerseys and these jerseys, they're like Technicolor. I don't know why they did that. Just stick with the color scheme of the hosting team. Yeah, Manfred said, actually, we will have a conversation in the offseason about revisiting letting the players wear their home and away jerseys. Next year, I believe, is in Atlanta. So the National League team should wear their home jerseys. The American League teams wear their away jerseys. Simple as that. Done. You don't have to have these graphic designers come in and these artists come in and say, hey, here's the idea. We're going to have these sand-colored, technicolor jerseys. They look dumb. Anyway. Back to Pete, the three-peat, all day. I'm listening to fans talk about what Pete Alonso's contract is going to be, what it's not going to be, all day. I'm listening to fans try to absolve this man for that terrible performance, all day. I still hear people, I'm driving in, and I'm parking a car maybe 25 minutes ago, and they're talking about Judge not doing, come on, can we stop that? Judge is one and done. As a rookie, showed up, won the competition easily. He never has to do it again. And don't compare it to LeBron in the dunk contest. It's not that. It's not that. He's one and done. Giancarlo Stanton never has to do it again. He won it. Juan Soto never has to do it again. He won it. Pete Alonso never has to do it again. He can't win it. The end. 888-808-1019. But listen, this is all playing into the Mets' hands. But the problem is Mets fans are split on it, right? Half of the Mets fans love Pete and feel like he should retire a Met, be a lifetime Met, and he should finish his years. He's a little over the hill. It's okay. He's older. He's not the same guy he once was. He should finish his years in Queens. And he came out there and talked about it, right? He says, I don't want to get traded. I love it. It's home. I've told you guys, every year he's the face of the Mets at this baseball festival where the whole baseball world is. He's literally campaigning for other players to potentially sign with the Mets in the offseason or kind of give them a heads up if they get traded for. But Pete Alonso has not performed this year the way you would expect someone in a contract year, in a prove-it year. You want to compare him to Aaron Judge? Stop doing that. Aaron Judge had the best prove-it year we've ever seen. But that's good, right? Because you didn't extend him. You know, Evan Roberts grew out his beard for Pete Alonso to get an extension. Why, Evan? It was never going down, bro. Had to shave the beard. It was never going down. Because David Stearns comes in, he's going to evaluate what Pete Alonso is. He gets to watch him every day in person. He gets to meet the person. And I think this is playing into the hands of the Mets fans that want to see Pete as a 30-plus-year-old guy finish his career here, or at least the next couple years here. Because when you look at Scott Boras, and you hear me talk about Scott Boras, he's not baseball's Bond villain anymore. Baseball has turned against him. They won't allow him to come in and get a Gerrit Cole-type contract anymore. They won't. They won't. We had the Boras 5 last offseason, and all of those guys were disappointed. One, J.D. Martinez, who had to wait and wait and hold out, start his season late. He got a short-term deal. Matt Chapman, Cody Bellinger, Blake Snell, and Jordan Montgomery, all guys that signed with Scott Boras thinking they were going to hit the Mega Millions, and instead, it is to be continued. 888-808-1019. Most of those guys I mentioned, like Montgomery, like Blake Snell, they missed spring training, and it impacted this season, right? That's going to impact their money. They have short-term deals. They're being evaluated. They're being looked at by everyone in baseball. They're getting older. They're not getting any younger. So I look at Pete Alonso, and I'm like, what kind of number? Somebody messaged me on Twitter, and they're like, what if Pete Alonso gets a $35 million seven-year contract, $35 million a year, seven-year contract from... I'm like, where are you getting these numbers? Literally no one, the Savannah Bananas, the Montreal Expos, nobody is offering Pete Alonso that. That's not realistic. Please go look up Matt Olson's contract. Go look up Freddie Freeman's contract. Look at what first basemen are making that he's not better than. 888-808-1019. Mets fans, call me up with it. I know half of you are like, goodbye, good riddance. Trade him now. And as I saw him strutting his stuff today on that red carpet, which I love that Major League Baseball does the red carpet show. I was watching MLB Network like this. I've been there. I've been a part of it. I'm like, this is what it's supposed to look like. The pomp and circumstance. These players in their suits. Christian Louboutin, Yves Saint Laurent, Gucci down. These millionaire ball players showing off their fashion and their style. And I thought Pete Alonso won today, even though he lost last night. He had on the all black cowboy hat. And then he had the, I just blanked on the name. What's the Texas tie called? The bowl. It's something with a B. He had the bolo tie, and he had the turquoise one. So I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, yo, he knows where he is. He must have went somewhere out there and got fitted, all black with the black cowboy hat and the bolo tie. And then when he gets interviewed by my girl LG, shout out to Lauren Garner from MLB Network, who was my co-host on Off Base, they talk about the fit, and then they also talk about whoever is singing the national anthem tonight. He's one of him and his wife's favorite country singers. And I'm reminded, yo, I'm like, yo, Pete Alonso's not a New Yorker. He's from the South. This guy probably has a little bit of an itch to get out of New York. Like DeGrom got to go to Texas. Like Scherzer got to go to Texas. Like Verlander got to go back to Texas. And there were rumors about the Houston Astros checking on him, right? Maybe he wants to go play in Texas where he is right now. Not for the Rangers, but for the hated Houston Astros. Do they trade for him and make a push? Maybe. Do you need Pete Alonso for the second half push? You don't really. You might like to have him, but it all depends on what David Stearns has across his desk, what they're willing to offer. The Astros might feel like, hey, we're surging now. Hey, we're still the Astros. We're trying to show that we can get back to the American League championship in this weak American League. We'll talk Yankees in a minute. And maybe they make a push for Pete Alonso. That'd be something to talk about on The Fan. We're going to talk about it tonight. 888-808-1019. I've been saying, you know, and I'm not a Mets fan, and I don't love Pete. I got no attachment. I've been saying, you don't trade Pete Alonso. For what? You could upset something in that clubhouse. You could shake up the lineup. He's a guy that you can't necessarily just replace with a prospect or another guy there in the position. And I really do think his second half is going to be better than his first half. It's been an adjustment. He's not the only guy anymore. There's a lot of guys putting bat to ball in that lineup and not relying on him. That is way different. And like I've also said about Pete, is he sat around and watched everybody come in and get rich. He watched guys come in, get Steve Cohen's money, and leave. He's still waiting on his bag. And I do believe that the richest owner in baseball does not have to give him an extension, does not have to trade him, can let him finish out this year, test the market, and still give the best offer to keep Pete Alonso over in Queens and not upset the Mets fans you heard Steve Cohen talk about so much in the beginning of the season. 888-808-1019. There's my spiel on the polar bear, the face of the Mets, Mr. Met at the All-Star game for the last 5 years. Now, as I'm getting ready to watch this All-Star game, I can't wait to see Paul Skeens versus Gunnar Henderson and obviously Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. But who cares about the All-Star game? There's nothing on the line. And I'm glad, because home field in the World Series shouldn't be determined by that. But let's have fun. Let's enjoy tonight before we get closer to Friday and go back to actual baseball. This is supposed to be a break. I would like to speak to you about the Yankees tonight, but only briefly. I did that last night. I laid into the Sunday collapse. It is now Tuesday. There's no reason to lean into it. But shout out to my guy, Fayo, who brought this across my desk. I was like, putting my notes together, firing off tweets, laughing about the Ingrid Andress chick, looking up stuff about Bronny James, and then I'm floated this, and it made me think a few things. I was talking about Anthony Volpe and his struggles. Jersey guy, I'm a big Volpe fan. I got Volpe t-shirts. I got that 11 jersey. Maybe if you saw me at Citi Field during the Subway Series, I was wearing the 11 jersey. I root for the guy, pull for the guy. He comes from good people. And I've been disappointed in him, but my disappointment is coupled with disappointment in the Yankees and their handling of him. So this clip comes across my desk. It's Aaron Boone on the Talking Yanks podcast. And I said, would you look at this? If you follow me on Twitter, I put it out there. If you follow me on Instagram, TikTok, I put it out there. But it's audio, so Paulie has prepared it for us to play right here on The Fan.
Became our shortstop at 21, and it's not just always a meteoric rise, although it's been that way certainly defensively. He's going to get there. And as I said, like before I moved him to the leadoff spot, like, you know what, when we look up in 10 years, I think he's going to be a guy that hits in the top of the lineup. I think Keith McPherson always says, like, in 10 years, I mean, in 10 years, he will be viewed that way. Not in 10 years, he's going to move into the leadoff spot or top of the order. I think he's going to be that kind of offensive player.
You notice a little pause there before Boone went to, it's almost like a little bit of a tell.
Keith McPherson always says, like,
from The Fan, KM to AM. Who? My haters tell me that I'm unlistenable. My ratings are trash. Nobody listens to my show at night. Aaron Boone does. Aaron Boone just repeated to you what Keith McPherson always says. And I'm glad that he did that because he gave me some clarity. How much have we talked about Anthony Volpe leading off? And I told you what grinds my gears is that Boone came out there on April 9th and said in 10 years, he'll be there. And then the next day, he was leading off against the Marlins and they lost that game 5-2. And I said, what's going on? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Didn't you learn from last year? No, Boone gave me some clarity there. Listen, greatness is a process, right? Nobody is ready out of the gate. I think about Anthony Volpe at 23. Man, I didn't graduate college until I was 23. And the version of myself coming out of college that I thought with a radio and television degree was ready for radio and television, not even close. It took 11 years from graduation for me to break into the radio and television simultaneously. So if it takes 10 years for Anthony Volpe to be one of the best leadoff hitters in the league, okay, I understand that. They're projecting. But I just had an issue with a 22-year-old kid, 23 he turned this year, started in spring training as 21, winning the job. I just had an issue with them forcing him to be such an important part of the offense and the defense. I can't imagine what it's like to be Anthony Volpe, who grew up in this area, who wanted to be Derek Jeter. We all wanted to be Derek Jeter. He actually did it. And he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders at 23 years old to be the shortstop of the New York Yankees and the leadoff hitter of the New York Yankees. The kid is better than what we're seeing. That's why I say my disappointment is twofold. Yeah, I'm disappointed in him because I think he's pressing. I think that he's better and it's in there and he's not able to show it. And obviously that Orioles loss, if he's able to make that play, we have a different feel for this week. But I'm also looking at the Yankees like, hey, come on now. You know you got to bring somebody along, especially someone that you said you weren't sending down and someone that you know their minor league development was skewed with the pandemic and everything else. But shout out to Boone, man. I know I'm hard on Boone. I'm actually not as hard as most of the callers on Boone. You've never heard me say fire Aaron Boone. You've heard me say quite the contrary, that not only do I think Aaron Boone survives this year no matter what happens, I think he gets another contract. That's me using my eyes and ears and listening to the players and how they talk. Yeah, I've called Aaron Boone cool dad, but that's not a dig, right? Like, he's a cool dad. I wish Boone was my dad. I mean, he's got that approach with the players. They love him. And I don't know exactly what his approach is behind the scenes, but he knows and they know it's time to tighten it up. And I think going into this All-Star break with more humble pie, it will bode well for the second half. You've heard me. I mean, I'm disappointed. I love the Yankees like you guys do. I think you can tell. When you guys see me in the stadium, I'm not quiet. There's times where I come here, I don't have any voice because I'm yelling and I'm trying to will them to victory. I'm leading the roll call. I'm standing up two strikes, two outs in there. I'm clapping. Like, I'm trying to, you know, rile people up in the stadium. Like, that's what it's about. We'll be back Friday. I want to win the World Series more than anything in sports, just like you guys. And this team has the best odds in the American League to do that. And I think with this deadline, they have to fill so many holes. Let's see if it gets done. I want to be surprised. I want to be here on deadline day like, man, Cashman has done it. I didn't expect this guy to be a Yankee. I didn't expect him to ship this guy out. It can happen, man. And if they lock in and remember that they're the New York Yankees and who they are, what they represent, and forget about the history. You do have the pen. It is right in front of you, like Boone said. Write some more history. 28. You can get there. You can win the World Series. It's all right in front of you. 888-808-1019. Now, that's my open, but we will talk about Devontae Adams. As I told you yesterday, that this is just Aaron Rodgers is the song that doesn't end. This is more, Aaron Rodgers' wish list. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this again? We want more Green Bay Packers here? He's got to play. We'll talk about that. We'll definitely talk about the best booth in baseball, Michael Kay and the Yes Network. They're at it again. They're at the top of the rankings. We're certainly going to hit on the Kayster and David Cohn, Paul O'Neill, Flash, Jeff Nelson, Todd Frey. It don't matter who's in it. Cameron Maybin, the best booth in baseball. The Yes Network has done it again. Brandon Ayuk wants out. Romo Dunze signed his rookie deal. Caleb Williams signed his rookie deal. Malik Nabers been signed his deal. Hard Knocks is on tonight at 9. I'm looking forward to that. I can't really watch it on air, but I've been tapped in on that. And speaking of 9, we got to talk about number 9 for the Los Angeles Lakers. I tried to, you know, reserve some of my thoughts on it, but now it is going worse than I actually thought. Yeah, Bronny James is number 9. LeBron James Jr. He picked number 9 for Juice WRLD. They asked him why he picked number 9. If you guys know who Juice WRLD is, 999, I saw Juice WRLD's performance at Coachella before he passed. I love Juice WRLD's music and all of that too, but I wouldn't pick that for my jersey number based off Juice WRLD. And this guy, I was reading an article last night, Lakers' Bronny James has more fouls than he has points in summer league loss. It is bad. It is embarrassing. And we got to lean into that and talk about that tonight.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I don't know what beat this is. You see me? I was like, oh, it's a Juice WRLD beat. Okay. This has to be one of those like karaoke style beats of it though. You got this off YouTube and some producer made it. So it's Juice WRLD. RIP Juice WRLD, man. One of the best freestylers I've ever heard. Coming out of Chicago, man. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Juice WRLD, but a guy like Bronny James, that must be his idol or something. Like, your dad is LeBron James, bro. What are you talking about? You picked your number for Juice WRLD. RIP Juice WRLD. Unfortunately, Juice WRLD passed because he got pulled over with some drugs on him, or stopped. I think he was on a plane and they searched him, and, you know, to not take the charge, he took the drugs and he overdosed and lost his life. I was at Coachella, I think, in 2019 and saw Juice WRLD perform Lucid Dreams. And right there, I was like, oh, these kids, this is their God. They worship this dude. I still see your shadows in my room. That's the song. You made my heart break. You made my heart break. All these emo little kids in their rooms. I guess Bronny James was one of them. There it is. Dun, 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 dun. Paulie's on it. You are now in the mix with DJ Vincent Von Vincent on the fan. All right, let's get serious, man. So LeBron James is playing for Team USA in the Olympics, and he's literally the captain and leader of the team, and USA is going to smoke Canada and Australia and whoever else they play. But he threw his son into the fire completely. Here you go, son. Going to the G League. What did I tell you guys that night? You might have been asleep. You might not. I'm like, you guys think that they embarrassed Caitlin Clark, or they went hard at Caitlin Clark? At least Caitlin Clark can play. At least she can shoot. This kid can't shoot. They're going at him. He doesn't belong. So a video comes up last night of NBA champion Jaylen Brown courtside. And the video captures his, you know, quote, and you can read his lips where he says, I don't think Bronny's a pro. And he kind of shrugs it off like, you don't think? He's not a pro. He doesn't belong. He barely belonged at USC. But because of the name, because of the LeBron James empire, this young man, who I'm sure loves basketball, I said that too, I'm sure he loves the game. I'm sure he works hard. But like, basketball, more than any other sport, you got to individually have it. You got to be good as yourself, one on one, and then obviously in 5-on-5. You have to have all of the intangibles. J.J. Redick had the audacity to get on a microphone and compare him to Lou Dort from the Oklahoma City Thunder. He says he projects to be like Lou Dort. Lou Dort caught a stray. That's not fair to Lou Dort. For my hoop heads, call me up, 888-808-1019, because this is pathetic. This is wrong, and they need to put a stop to this, but it's too late. He's got a $17.9 million guaranteed contract as the second round 55th overall pick. Second round picks that late aren't supposed to get that much guaranteed, but they're not supposed to get guaranteed money. This is insanity. He can't score. They're playing his high. They put out a clip of game stoppage. The game was not in play in the NBA. I don't know, it might have been a timeout or something. He had the ball and he goes to put up a shot. You've seen Jalen Brunson do that 20 times and knock the shot down. This guy airballed the shot while the game wasn't in play. This is not fair to this young man. His dream, I'm sure, was to make it to the league and play in the NBA. His dad fast-forwarded that dream and accelerated that dream because his dream is to be the Ken Griffey Jr. and Sr. of the NBA. We all knew it was wrong. We all knew it wasn't right on draft night where you see Bronny sitting there and he's tearing up. I'm like, this is cringe. This is so forced. There's no surprise to this. Obviously, the Lakers were going to draft you. We all knew it. And now you're seeing it play out in real time. He doesn't belong at all. 888-808-1019. But people will tell you, oh, Keith, come on, man. It's not about that. And I'm no, it's about just the simple fact of sports are supposed to be a great equalizer. Either you can play or you can't. I don't care if you're black, white, rich, or poor. You can play or you cannot. And I'm going to judge you off of that. Can you hoop? Can you ball? Do you belong? This young man does not belong. People want to make it about him having the condition where his heart stopped last year. I feel for him with that. That's even more reason why they should have taken it slow. He should be in college. He should be being a kid at USC, enjoying that college lifestyle and playing at a level that he actually could fit in and belong another year or two. But LeBron doesn't have that many years left to go. So, okay, let me guess. This kid's not going to go to the G League. He's not even a G Leaguer. He's going to make the Lakers roster so that they can get that exhibition pop. Now entering the game, Bronny James, number 9 for your Los Angeles Lakers. Just for the clicks, just for the internet. Everything now is done for engagement. That's why I said I was skeptical with this Ingrid Andress chick. I'm like, somebody knew she couldn't sing. And the home of the brave. What? What? All right, let's go to the phone. Richie in Queens, hello, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm good, hanging out. Glad to be here. Glad I'm not on vacation.
Yeah, and I'm glad you're there, too, because not that I want to take your vacation from your son and your wife, but it's always good to hear you.
I've taken plenty of vacation. I got more to
take. I know. Well, I didn't want to bring that up. It seems like you're doing what Francesca used to do, but I don't want to get to that.
What Francesca used to do?
He used to take 6 weeks off in the summer. It was incredible. And then when he came back,
he would act like he really was
on top of everything, and he wasn't, you know, but that was Mike. Mike was the king. And he set standards. But anyways,
I'm far from him.
A couple of things. You know, I was thinking what you said about LeBron's son. I totally agree. I think it's going to be a real detriment to him. The pressure is incredible. I think it's nice that he has his son there, but he's just not ready. And you said the G League. You know, the G League is just a notch below, man. There isn't, a tremendous difference between some of those guys.
He will be embarrassed in that league.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's no, you can't shoot the basketball, and he's so far from being a real rounded player.
He doesn't have the size. He's not a defender. He's a defender, but he's not to the defender that they're trying to make him out to be. They're trying to, now, because he has no offensive game, they're trying to say he can be like a Lou Dort. And I'm like, that's wrong. Lou Dort is better than LeBron James Jr. by a lot. There is no projection. And he's taller than him. He's like 5 inches taller than him.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing, too, is, a real quick synopsis. Obviously, the Mets overachieved. They were 14 games over their last 40 games. Obviously, the last 25, 28 games, the Yankees underachieved. I'd like to think they're underachieving because I think they're better than that. Stanton was a big loss for them, and Stanton has been one of the biggest surprises in the league. Stanton was a non-entity when the season started. They thought that he just looked totally off. He was in the starting lineup.
I don't know if we can say he's a non-entity, but we can say that Cashman.
What I said, people thought he was not, but I think he's a big part of that lineup.
Of course.
I think he's been a tremendous surprise. I think losing him was major because of Volpe taking a step back. So getting him back, I just don't know about the pitching. I don't know what, I touted, I told you 2 years ago when you got Rodon, he was with my team with the Giants, and I thought he was a good pickup. I don't know if he's just a two-pitch pitcher, Keith, 96 with just straight.
He's trying to mix it up, pitches. He can't. Because he tries to establish himself early in the game, trying to locate that fastball, and they're all over him. Rodon. I mean, this guy, I don't know. I'm so down on him because he started off this year good, and it made you think, like, okay, second year in New York, we've seen that. Guys kind of figure it out. But, man, he's just feeble. He's weak-minded.
I don't even think, and mentally, he's got really issues.
That's
whether
the problem.
It's anger management.
Get it together. You can't just lock in and not show. Have a poker face.
Yep.
We're watching you.
And, but sometimes it's easier said than done if that's not your makeup. It's just like what Hernandez, like people said about him with the Patriots. How could he do what he did with the gang and the killing? Well, that was his makeup. Obviously, that's extreme. You would think the money would have made him different, but that was the type of individual he was. And Rodon is that type. It's very difficult for him to leave his emotions behind.
Well, I wouldn't compare him to Aaron Hernandez. Richie, thanks for the call. Now we're going somewhere I don't know how we got there. 888-808. 101.9. Let's get back to talking about the All-Star game. What channel is it on? Because I'm sitting here watching ESPN coverage, and obviously they sold that to Fox. All right, now I've got the game on, and I'm sure I've missed the, I know they take a while to get it going. No, I haven't missed anything. The coverage started at 7. The game starts at 8.
Like 8:10, 8:15 probably?
Yeah. I got to act like I've been at a couple of those. Whatever.
Do you enjoy going to those?
No.
I don't. Because the All-Star game
sucks. I skipped it last year.
Right. They're not for me. They're not for you. They're for kids and sponsors. I mean, that's the only time.
I did enjoy watching Stanton hit that moonshot in Dodger Stadium over the bleachers where he said he grew up watching as a kid. Like, I was physically there for that. And it was also sick to see Nestor and Trevi. They got mic'd up. And obviously, I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter and Instagram, but, like, I have made acquaintances with Nestor Cortez and Jose Trevino. Like, if both of them were to walk in here right now, it wouldn't be the 10th time that I've seen them. I'd dap them up, say what's up. So I ran into them at the hotel before the red carpet event. And then to sit in the stands and see those two do their thing was awesome. So I did enjoy the L.A. All-Star game. But I saw the one in Minnesota. The only thing cool about that was it was Jeter's last game. And I think if I remember, I think it was Adam Wainwright, like, grooved him some pitches. And I don't remember anything about the Colorado one. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what happened in the Colorado. Oh, I didn't go. I was at the John Boy media event on the panel. So I didn't go. We were just, I don't know, we were in there boozing. So, yeah, the All-Star game, a lot of people leave. Last year I left Seattle, and I remember landing back in Newark as the game was starting, watching it on my phone. I wanted to see Gerrit Cole pitch that first inning. I remember the outfield had, like, Randy Arozarena and somebody else in it, and the joke was, like, oh, this is Gerrit Cole pitching and actually having real outfielders in the defense behind him instead of Franchy Cordero and Willie Calhoun and IKF in center field. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll get to your calls faster. I only got to one. But there's a lot to talk about. Even in this time where there's no Yankees, no Mets baseball, we're going to fill the time. This show goes till 12. We've got plenty of time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
And he takes a knee and the New York Giants are the Super Bowl 42 champions.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They knock off the mighty Patriots 17-14.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
New York, you guys want to talk sports tonight, or you guys want to do something else? Sorry, that's what we do here. This is The Fan, 101.9 FM, Keith McPherson. I will keep it to the sports. I might veer off, talk about my life. I might veer off, talk about some things that aren't sports, but I always bring it back, and it'll always be because I'm trying to land the plane and arrive at a point in the sports world. Here we are. These uniforms are terrible, yo. Like, these, they look like, Pete Alonso's on my screen right now. They look like the Miami Marlins color scheme. The Miami Marlins hosted in 2017. Why would they do this? Anyway, let's get back to talking about Pete Alonso, the home run derby, and the All-Star game. Let's go to Corey in Montclair. Corey, you're on the Fan.
Keith, what's up, man? Love the show.
Thanks for calling. How are you?
Of course. I'm well. Thanks. First thing around Bronny, I'm so on your page. It's kind of embarrassing. And to be honest, it goes both ways with LeBron and with Bronny. If Bronny had some, you know, self-awareness, he would say, you know, listen, I'm not good enough to play in the league right now. I need to work my craft.
Doesn't matter what he says.
And go back.
You know, imagine dad, like, imagine being, I don't know, was he 20 years old trying to tell his dad what to do?
No, totally. And I think that goes back to what you said before around the clickbait, right? It's entertainment. Yeah. You know, they're trying to do this to serve, you know, the brand of the Lakers and
J.J. Redick is the coach. J.J. Redick is the coach.
Yeah. I sort of had high expectations for him. You know, maybe he's just playing the game a little bit politically because, you know, he has to appease LeBron. But I think he could be good. It's just, you know, the team's older.
Can't be any worse than Steve Nash.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm a huge Mets fan. We've had conversations before about Pete Alonso. I've always felt this year we should trade him, try to get as many assets back as we possibly can. Over the last couple months now, the Mets have played better, But to me, you know, they're not a World Series contender unless they make some really big moves at the trade deadline, which I don't expect them to do. I think it's a sell mode. And, you know, you look at Pete's stats, he's going to be 30 years old next year. The last two seasons now, we're talking about a player who's under 320 OBP. I mean, you know, and then you made some great comparisons around, like, contracts that have not worked out. You know, Jordan Montgomery, for the player, right? Jordan Montgomery, Blake Snell, Cody Bellinger,
I'm
right?
I'm aiming at Scott Boras, not even the players. Scott Boras failed all of his clients this offseason. Like, what makes us think that he's going to get a seven-year deal for Pete Alonso at the maximum dollar? I don't fear Scott Boras with Juan Soto either.
I'm totally aligned with you. And one other player I would add to that list is Michael Conforto.
Yeah.
And what I think should have happened, right, was Pete Alonso had an opportunity to sign a team-friendly deal, right? And I think that the right comp for him, and I'll let you go and I want to hear what you have to say, is someone like Matt Olson. Matt Olson got I think it's like 8 years, $21 million he's making a year. That's $168 million a year. That's the comp that Pete should be looking at. And if the Mets spend any more than that, I think it's a colossal failure. And Stern should really, you know, be evaluated in a big way. So I'll listen to what you have to say.
Thanks for the call, Corey. Yeah, I'm right there with you, bro. I told you guys, go look up that contract. Matt Olson, after he got traded to the Braves, who they, you know, they always get patted on the back for being the smartest in baseball. Look at the deals they've done. Look at how much money they're saving. Look at how they're keeping that core of talent together. 8 years, $168 million. I believe it was $158 million for 7 years floated to Pete Alonso. So Matt Olson got 21. Pete Alonso, if the rumors were true, was offered 22.5. Obviously now being 2 years after that Matt Olson deal, 3 years coming up when Pete would sign. I don't think he's better than Matt Olson, you know. So the number's going to drop, and I hear the comps with Saquon Barkley. I know we're in New York. It's not the same type of thing. It's not the same sport. It's not the same. Like, he's younger, and it's not the same type of thing. They both did say, "Yeah, I want to be a Giant. Yeah, I want to be a Met." But I ultimately think this. Now, Corey brought up a good point about if you think you can trade Pete at the deadline to someone, let's say like the Houston Astros, who you already got a top pick from last year or a top prospect from last year. If you think you can fleece the Houston Astros and get some prospects to add to your farm and then still re-sign Pete Alonso in the offseason, maybe there's an avenue there. But I just don't think that David Stearns is looking to do all that. I think if he trades him, he's done with him. He's not going to bring him back and pay him. If he's going to pay him, he's going to keep him, and he's not going to let him put on another jersey. He's not going to let him feel what it feels like to play for another team. He's going to be once a Met, always a Met, and nobody's going to outbid Steve Cohen in the offseason. 888-808-1019. It's about to be 8, 1 hour down, 4 to go. The All-Star game is upon us. It's about to be underway. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call us up. Join the show. BRB.